scriptorium. It sounds as if it might have been a grand building, where the lightest footstep would echo between marble floor and gilded dome, but it was just a shed in the back garden of a house in Oxford. Instead of storing shovels and rakes, the shed stored words. Every word in the English language was written on a slip of paper the size of a postcard. Volunteers posted them from all over the world, and they were kept in bundles in the hundreds of pigeonholes that lined the shed walls. Dr. Murray was the one who named it the scriptorium. He must have thought it an indignity for the English language to be stored in a garden shed. But everyone who worked there called it the scrippy. Everyone but me. I liked the feel of scriptorium as it moved around my mouth and landed softly between my lips. It took me a long time to learn to say it, and when I finally did, nothing else would do. Dar once helped me search the pigeonholes for scriptorium. We found 5 slips with examples of how the word had been used, each quotation dating back little more than 100 years. All of them were more or less the same, and none of them referred to a shed in the back garden of a house in Oxford. A scriptorium, the slips told me, was a writing room in a monastery. But I understood why Dr. Murray had chosen it. He and his assistants were a little like monks, and when I was 5, it was easy to imagine the dictionary as their holy book. When Dr. Murray told me it would take a lifetime to compile all the words, I wondered whose. His hair was already as grey as ash, and they were only halfway through B. Dar and Dr. Murray had been teachers together in Scotland long before there was a scriptorium. And because they were friends, and because I had no mother to care for me, and because Dar was one of Dr. Murray's most trusted lexicographers, everyone turned a blind eye when I was in the scriptorium. The scriptorium felt magical. Like everything that ever was and ever could be had been stored within its walls. Books were piled on every surface. Old dictionaries, histories, and tales from long ago filled the shelves that separated one desk from another or created a nook for a chair. Pigeonholes rose from the floor to the ceiling. They were crammed full of slips, and Dar once said that if I read every one, I'd understand the meaning of everything. In the middle of it all was the sorting table. Dar sat on one end, and 3 assistants could fit along either side. At the other end was Dr. Murray's high desk, facing all the words and all the men who helped him define them. We always arrived before the other lexicographers, and for that little while I would have Dar and the words all to myself. I'd sit on Dar's lap at the sorting table and help him sort the slips. Whenever we came across a word I didn't know, he would read the quotation it came with and help me work out what it meant. If I asked the right questions, he would try to find the book the quotation came from and read me more. It was like a treasure hunt, and sometimes I found gold. This boy had been a scatterbrain scapegrace from his birth. Dar read the quotation from a slip he had just pulled out of an envelope. Am I a scatterbrain scapegrace? I asked.
Sometimes, Dar said, tickling me.
Then I asked who the boy was, and Dar showed me where it was written at the top of the slip.
Aladdin and the Wonderful Lamp, he read.
When the other assistants arrived, I slipped under the sorting table.
Be quiet as a mouse and stay out of the way, Dar said.
It was easy to stay hidden. At the end of the day, I sat on Dar's lap by the warmth of the grate, and we read Aladdin and the Wonderful Lamp. It was an old story, Dar said, about a boy from China. When I asked if there were others, he said there were 1,000 more. The story was like nothing I had heard, nowhere I had been, and no one I knew of. I looked around the scriptorium and imagined it as a genie's lamp. It was so ordinary on the outside, but on the inside, full of wonder. And some things weren't always what they seemed. The next day, after helping with the slips, I pestered Dar for another story. In my enthusiasm, I forgot to be as quiet as a mouse. I was getting in his way.
A scapegrace will not be allowed to stay, Dar warned,
and I imagined being banished to Aladdin's cave. I spent the rest of the day beneath the sorting table, where a little bit of treasure found me. It was a word, and it slipped off the end of the table. When it lands, I thought, I'll rescue it and hand it to Dr. Murray myself.